Fourth and two. Mariota's pass on the cross. Incomplete. Through the hands of Brown. It was Quincy Wilson on the coverage. 11 seconds left. And Adam Vinatieri breathing a huge sigh of relief.
We let one slip, for sure. But we got to move on from it. We've got a quick turnaround. Another division opponent, and can't hang our head at all.
Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena, Pete and Terry's Tavern. Preds in an hour, so that means we got 1 hour, Floyd, for Titans Monday. Go ahead and load them up now. 615-737-1025. Not sure how many calls we're going to get to. Floyd, Titans lose to the Colts. You heard Marcus say it right there. It was one they let slip away. Would you like to start with your reaction first, or would you like mine?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I have a couple takes. Number one, everyone's going to blame Mariota for the loss yesterday, and he was awful, god-awful. But he wasn't the only one who was god-awful. They had guys that weren't making tackles. They had guys dropping passes. They had guys lining up incorrectly. They had a kicker miss an easy chip shot. So everybody played a part in this loss. I thought the coaching was not very good yesterday. We'll get into that a little bit. I thought Vrabel got totally worked by Frank Reich. I thought I was disappointed with Dean Pease on some of these third and long calls yesterday. And I thought they got too cute and stopped giving the ball to Derrick Henry. Now, my big takeaway from the game is this. This is why you're 9-7 every season. Because there are three or two games a year that are exactly like that one, where you just do everything in your power to lose that ballgame. Where you, it's everybody working together to lose. And then it comes down to Marcus, and at the end, can Marcus make a play to win you the game? And the answer last week was no. And this is just like the Charger game in London last year. This is just like the Buffalo game last year. Nick Williams drops the touchdown. This is just like Arizona, San Francisco, the Texans on Monday Night Football, you name it. This is exactly like those games in the past that we look back at the end of the season and just think, God, if they had just not screwed up the Charger game royally, they're in the playoffs. If they just beat Buffalo, if they just – this is one of those games. And this is why you're 9-7 every season. And I was very disappointed in the execution by the Titans. I was very disappointed in the strategy from the Titans yesterday. Vrabel, a couple of things I think he did totally incorrectly. And then, you know, Marcus was just flat-out awful. He was flat-out terrible. And in his fifth year, he can't be this bad. He can't be this much of a passenger in the game. He has got to make some plays. And he's out there, and he just looks unsure. And I mean, there are a lot of Titan fans who are totally out on Mariota today. I'm not there, but I've seen too many of these games from him. And at this point in his career, those games have to stop. So I think it was everything, and this is why you can't ever get to 10 wins or 11 wins or 12 wins, because you lose games like this that you got to win and you have the chance to win.
Well, I mean, we talked about it during the season. These early few games, you lose games rather than win them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Indy did anything to win it. But we sure did a bunch to lose it. I mean, we had golden opportunities. We were put in situations several times in spite of how poorly we played in some areas. I think we were in control. And if we can, you know, turn around and convert a fourth down, if we can sneak a ball instead of say, if we can do, there are about 5, 6, 7 plays in this game that you say, hey, if you would have done the other thing, we would have won. Yep. Any one of those things, we would have won. But that was not the case. And so, I mean, I think they hit it right. This is something they just got to blow away. They got to forget it. You know, hopefully their meetings are over. They're done with it. And move on to Jacksonville, because the worst thing that happens to you after a game like this is you let one game turn into two games because you're still sulking over the first one. So you have to kind of, you know, clean your palate and go right back to work, hit it running, and we've got to figure out a way to beat Jacksonville.
The one thing I don't like about that line of thinking, though, is that these games keep happening to this team. I mean, you want to go back to the Charger game last year in London. I think this game is exactly like that game, right? oh, if they just convert on the two-point conversion, if they just don't throw an interception right before half, if they don't just allow those lollipop busted coverage touchdowns, they go into London and they beat a good Charger team and maybe they make the playoffs. If they go to Buffalo and they just don't fumble the ball with Deion Lewis, and they, by the way, Deion Lewis sucks. If they don't just fumble the ball with Deion Lewis, if they don't just fumble the ball with Taywan Taylor, if Nick Williams doesn't drop the touchdown pass, they win at Buffalo. Like, like this team keeps doing that. San Francisco, Arizona. You know, this transcends coaches. Honestly, it feels like the one common with that, with these kind of games and these kind of results is Mariota. But the one thing when everyone brings up Mariota and his problems in this game, and as I said, he was awful. He was horrible yesterday. But it was a lot more than Marcus that was bad. You know, Marcus wasn't the only one who was bad. And I feel like Marcus is going to get the brunt of the blame for being bad, but it's not totally Marcus's fault. And I shouldn't say that. It's other people's fault, too, as well as Marcus's. But, I mean, to your point, like, when does that stop, though? You know, when does that stop? These Buffalo games, this Indy game. This is the Charger game, the Arizona game.
You act like it's going to come. This is the NFL.
I know, but the Steve and Eddie team stopped doing that and turned into a 13-3 team.
If you're going to be a 13-3 team, those things don't happen. If you're anything other than a 13-3 team, those things happen. I mean, we said before, New England, what were they last year? 12-4? 11-5? Every team they lost to did not make the playoffs. Every playoff team they played, they beat. So, I mean, it's the NFL, it is hard. That's why for you to get to the point, that's like when you just throwing around 12-4. I mean, you have no idea how hard it is to get to 12-4. To get to 12-4, you can't have these games. These games are gone. Obviously, they're not out of our gullet yet. I mean, we've still got at least one in there, and you know, hopefully there aren't any more, but I mean, they're still there. You haven't matured to the point you can get away from those things. And the truth is, some of these guys going on to their 25th chance may never mature. They may never get there. So if that's the case, I mean, you have to understand what you're working with all the time. Not making it any easier.
How do you feel about Marcus?
Well, what are you going to say? I mean, he had 2-3 chances to win the game. Didn't do it. So, you know, there kind of is, but he wasn't the only one. I agree with you. He was not the only one. If you kick the field goal, you win the game. If you don't get sacked and shorten the field goal so he can kick it, you win the game. If you run a quarterback sneak, if you just cheese it instead of downing the ball, you win the game. If Sharp turns around and gets the first down, instead of just falling, win the game. If Casey doesn't jump off the sides, maybe you win the game. You got a whole laundry list of guys and what they could have done to help you win the game.
I am
but
so done with Sharp.
Those things have not happened. You're right back where we were, you know, before.
So this is my charge to the coaching staff. Figure out a way to keep these games from happening. And I can get Mike Mularkey to lose a game like that. I saw him do it 500 times. I've seen that Titan game 500 times in my life. I walked out of that stadium, I turned to my buddy I went to the game with, and I said, I have seen this game 500 times.
Have we ever seen Marcus be inaccurate? Have we seen Marcus make bad decisions?
Yes.
Have we seen Marcus? Maybe you can't get it out. Maybe it's there. I mean, it's, you know, some of these guys you want to get it out of, and you can coach and work with, but, you know, some of these guys, it's just there.
Adoree.
I don't know. Maybe. But, I mean, it's you know, until they start doing things right, until they understand for a fifth-year quarterback to get up there and spike the ball, that's going to make it a fourth down with 2 yards to go when all you have to do is goose the center, take a quarterback sneak, get the first down, start all over. Nobody's around. Nobody's ready. I mean, that is football 101. And we couldn't figure it out. Now, was somebody in the headset yelling, you know, kill it, kill it, kill it? I have no idea. But, I mean, that is That is something, you know, if you can't get over that, if you don't understand, if you don't have the game preference, Sharp, he's going to, you know what? He hasn't run for an extra yard in his entire career. He's been a catch and fall guy forever. So now the one time we want him to catch and fall, he thinks he's going to wheel around this safety and turn it upfield and gain another 20. Just get the first, man. To understand the game, know where you are, know what you're doing. Just get the first and let us live. But, you know, not the case.
Like
sack? How can you take a sack?
Oh, my God.
How is that possible?
I could not
possible?
Believe that. I could not believe that.
Have we ever seen that before?
Yes. We saw it last week at Cleveland.
When are you going to learn? When are you going to learn?
And I went back and watched that play, and as I was watching the play, I go, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, 4-1,000, 5-1,000.
All you have to know is, hey, it's better to kick it from here than it is for me to lose 10 yards and have him kick it. So let's just throw it away, let him kick it, and see where we go. I mean, you think you would have made it if he was 10 yards closer? I don't know, but I would have certainly felt better about it. I mean, I think that's the really, really frustrating thing. And again, it's not like, I mean, you want to blame a bunch of people? Yep, you can blame a bunch of them. But it's a bunch, you know. But, I mean, there are some key elements in all these. Let's face it. And we may not want to, you know, talk about it. We may not want to get there. I don't know. But there are some key elements.
Well, we're talking about that coming up next. Marcus, we'll get right to it. Let's get to the phone calls, too. 615-737-1025. Again, we only have an hour today because at 3 Preds pregame's coming on. We're live from Bridgestone Arena, Pete and Terry's Tavern. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM, we'll get to the Marcus element of this. We'll get to the team element of this. We'll get to the Vrabel element of this because I think the coaches are getting a total pass as well. Jared and the GM, live from Bridgestone Arena at ESPN 1025, the game.
Now, if you complete this ball inbounds, you're going to run off about 10 to 14 seconds, depending on how far downfield it is. So you've got to keep that in mind. And here on second down, if you don't pick up the first, spiking it becomes a problem.
Now pass complete. A.J. Brown. Going to be about a yard and a half short of the first down. Gethers on the tackle, and that clock is moving.
You've got to run a play here. If you spike it, it's fourth down.
They do indeed spike it. And now they're going to rely on Mariota to try to convert a fourth down.
See, to me, you just run a quick play to the sideline. You know what defense you're going to be in. So you run a quick play to the sideline, and at least you have a chance to pick up the first down. But now it's fourth down, and this is your only shot.
The third down, was it all as soon as he was down, you're spiking there, or what's the
problem? No, it was, it was things that we've worked on throughout the offseason. I felt like we were kind of running down on time, and I took the onus to spike it and just give us a chance to maybe, you know, get 5 or 6 more yards so we can put it up. Looking back on it, should have ran a different play instead of clocking it, and that's totally on me.
Isn't that something they practice every day?
Practice it a bunch.
The 2-minute drill. Isn't it the end of practice almost every day is to run the 2-minute drill?
Oh, you practice it a bunch.
But it's not, never get into this situation?
Well, 2-minute drills are not the same. You know, as people think, well, if you practice a 2-minute drill, that's got every one of these 2-minute drills is different because you've got different yardage, you've got different scores, you got different field position, you got different down and distances. That's why you have to have a certain set of rules. And when you get in a situation like that and you don't have time, I think there were 18 seconds on the clock, you don't have time to really call and run a play that's just going to gain 2 yards. Mm-hmm. So you get up and sneak it. You just goose the center. The center dives off. You dive off. Get the first down. Jump right up. Clock it. Okay, now you've got a full set of downs, and you've got a little bit of space.
You got one play, basically.
Yeah. You know, and if you can get the ball and get it completed, and you spike it again and kick it. But, I mean, you can't let it all boil down to fourth down.
how bad was Marcus's day overall, in your opinion? Because to me, the two things the Titans did, and Marcus was the headliner on this, but everybody did it. They played poorly and they played stupidly, and he did both too.
They did. They didn't do anything that we better than we did. You know, they didn't. Their quarterback was just as bad. Their receivers are just, for the first time in the history, we held the receiver and two tight ends to less than 100 yards receiving. That is an NFL record for us. We have never, ever been able to do that. We shut those guys down by our standards, and yet we couldn't make it work, you know. But, I mean, for the first time for me, I got worried about Marcus's thought process. I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about throwing the ball. I'm talking about knowing what's going on, knowing what the game situation is. Can I take a sack here or not? You know, it's three-step plant. It's not there. Throw it away because I have to give our guy a chance to kick a field goal. There's no time for dancing. There's no time for looking for the third and fourth option. The point is you get rid of it. And if you can do that, at least we have a chance to kick a field goal. But to take a 10-yard sack and then miss the game-winning kick, I mean, it's inexcusable. But those kind of things, for the first time, I started questioning Marcus. I've never questioned that before because, like I said, before there was always, you know, a young guy and this and that and the other. We're in year five now, you know, and I told you I'm done with all that kind of stuff. So now it's awareness, alertness. How can you not have gone through this scenario 1,000 times in your mind? Mm-hmm. How can you not get up there in the beginning of the series and think to yourself, okay, this is what I'm going to do. If I get in this situation, this is what I'm going to do. But obviously we didn't do that. And you can't, when you get up there and you're all of a sudden faced with that predicament, you can't all of a sudden just say, oh, I think I'll do this. I mean, if you're 50-50. In the NFL, 50-50 is not good enough. And so, I mean, I'm a little bit more concerned about Marcus from that standpoint than I ever was before.
This was, like, we babied it and when he did this against Arizona a couple years ago. I mean, people were hard on him and things like that. But it's year five. You know, it's year five. And the Colts are just giving you the ball game. I tweeted out, I said at halftime, I said, the good news, the Titans are only down by 6, and Adam Vinatieri is totally cooked. Which, by the way, he's done. Need to hang it up. He's done. But that was the good news. The bad news, I put everything else. It was bad. And Marcus was certainly the poster child in that. And I'm one of Marcus's biggest defenders, but I agree with you about the thought process. He holds on to the ball too long sometimes. Too often he holds on to the ball. He doesn't know when he can't take sacks. Sometimes it feels like he looks at one guy. On the play, the 4th and 2, where the ball hit A.J. Brown in the hands, Davis's guy fell down. Did you see Davis's reaction after the play was over?
I didn't see it, but I mean, I'm not sure how much time you have there. I mean, you'd like to be able to say, hey, we're going to look at the 4th receiver and the 5th receiver, but you don't have time.
You got
to
go and run up the spot.
You got to get it done because you don't have time to dance around in the pocket. Time's of the essence.
The one other thing that drove me nuts, and I haven't got to the coaching aspect of this, which we will, but what drove me nuts yesterday, how many times they have Brissett sacked and let him go, and then they end up picking up a positive play?
Well, I told you, tackling was going to be critical. And we were awful, especially with the quarterback. I mean, we missed at least 2, 3, 4 sacks because we were back there hanging on him, all over him, could not get him to the ground. And people will say, you know, Brissett's a strong guy. Yep, he is. But he's not stronger than a 340-pound DT now, unless he's King Kong. So, I mean, that's not a fact. But he got away. So that was too bad because they would have had, you know, better field position, a bunch more sacks. I mean, you know, the truth is we had an option. We continue to get turnovers. We haven't turned the ball over in 2 games. We've gotten, what, three,
four. Got two yesterday, so five.
We got
five
or six, plus five. Have not turned the ball over one time.
What a gift from Brissett yesterday.
And you're 1-1. I mean, it's sad because everything that you need to do to win is there. What do we say? You can't get any penalties. We've been great in penalties compared to our opponent. You can't turn the ball over. We haven't turned it over one time, and we've gotten a bunch. You know, the pass rush we didn't think was going to exist, well, there may be a hope. I mean, if we could have tackled, there would definitely be a pass rush. You know, we're able to run the ball. We're doing some things. The bugaboo, and I said this yesterday, third down conversions are horrible. Horrible. And you can't have sustained drives if you can't convert third down. It's that simple. We're like 3 of 20 on first downs. And I'm going to bet 2/3 of those are 3rd and 8, 9, or 10 plus. Because we can't get anything on first down. We can't get anything on second down. Oh, we get a penalty and now we're moved back. And now it's a, and you know what? We're not good enough. Nobody's good enough. Maybe New England, maybe, you know, a couple of the elite teams. But nobody's good enough to go into these games and convert 3rd and 11. You just don't convert those.
I wonder, too, if they're trying to get everybody involved more. They're trying to get the ball around. And so that forces them to not just go to Delaney. Just go to Derek. Just forget everybody else. Just go to those two guys, and I wonder if that's hurting them a little bit.
The problem is.
I mean, Derek, in the fourth quarter, they took Derek out of that game, and we'll get to the coaching in a second. That was inexcusable to take Derek Henry out of the football game. The way he was getting rolling, they couldn't tackle him.
But you can't convert third downs. You can't get, you get three downs, and you're trying to catch up. You're trying to win. You're trying to, and you just don't, you don't have time to run the ball.
No, I'm not talking at the end of the game.
That's like Humphreys. People are saying, where's Humphreys? We paid him all this money. He doesn't exist. Well, yeah, because all the third downs are 3rd and 12. Give me a 3rd and 4, a 3rd and 5. And that, now you'll see him. Now he'll pop out. But, you know, you need something down the field. That's not what his MO is. I mean, he is he's one of those underneath kind of, you know, 3rd and 7 minus. He's great. 3rd and 7 plus, he's not on the field. So, what, you know, here's another weapon taken away.
Jared of the GM, we are live at Bridgestone Arena. Again, Preds preseason coverage starts at 3 today. So that means we are just rolling through Titans Monday. We will get to your phones, I think. But we've still got a lot to get to. We'll do that. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mariota has missed his last 3 attempts. What does he go here on 3rd and 10? It starts to collapse. Wobbly pass, it's caught. And they're very close to the first down marker. Sharp, if he just stayed and kind of fell forward, he had the first down, he went back.
If he just falls forward, but I think they're going to give him forward progress here.
Arch, I think they're short, well short, about a yard short of the marker. On 4th and 2, Mariota and company line up over center.
No, they're just going to take this timeout. You're not going to. You got to think about exactly what play you want to run right here. Is a huge play in this game.
Or perhaps they'll just punt. We'll see what they do here. Looks like they'll run that play clock down as much as they can. Wow. And everyone will catch their breath.
Well, we were going to punt. I just was going to try to get them drawn off sides and see if their aggressiveness and then, you know, try to get the ball back for our offense at that situation. I felt like that was the decision that I made to punt it. At that particular point at 4th and 1.
What happened to Johnny Go For It last year? I mean, late game situation, I know it's minus side of the field, I get all that, but their kicker can't even kick, so who cares? I'm sitting there, Johnny Go For It, and I'm like, go for it. You got to go for it and get it here. You don't. You're not going to get another real shot if you don't do this. And then, of course, Vrabel brings him out. All right, take it down and just punt the ball. But that's not even the most egregious part of that. And I think Vrabel gets a huge pass from the game yesterday. I thought his strategy at many levels was terrible. But
what levels?
Well, let me get to that in a second. Sharp. The play that led to that. Sharp. I am done with Tajae Sharp. Cut him. I'm done. Get rid of him. I'm sick of 3 years, 4 years, however the hell long he's been on the Titans, of Tajae Sharp making four catches in training camp and be like, hey, Tajae is going to break out this year. Get ready for Tajae. And then all Tajae Sharp ever does is nothing. And in this case, it was worse than nothing. He sucks. Get rid of him, please. I'd rather Darius Jennings has a. I'd rather have Jennings out there.
Jennings made a nice catch.
He did make a nice catch, an important catch, led to a touchdown. Get rid of Tajae Sharp. I am done with him. So that's my one thing there. The strategy for Vrabel that drove me crazy: number one, taking Derrick Henry out of the game, inexcusable. Number two, when they were on that drive, and I think this is the drive about 12 minutes to go, I think was the drive that changed everything. Titans are driving, and Derrick is getting like 8 yards a crack on this drive. I mean, everything is toss to Derrick, gain of 13, toss to Derrick, gain of 9, toss to Derrick. And so they get close. They take Derrick out of the game. They put Deion back in the game. Then they bring Derrick back in, first and 10 at the 20. Derrick gets 1 yard. Not going to, you know, it happens. Then Derrick, they give the ball to Adam Humphries on a sweep. Oh, great. That's the speedster, Adam Humphries, gets 1 yard, and now it's third and long. Mariota gets sacked. Just keep doing the little pitch to Derrick. He keeps getting a bunch of yards every time you do it. And so that drove me crazy. I also think where what Vrabel should have done, and I know we're going to disagree on this, but on the play where Brissett snuck it on the fourth and short, with 2:20 to go, two timeouts, and the two-minute warning, I would have had a Titan player touch a Colts player, give the Colts the first down, and then use my timeouts and the two-minute warning to get the ball back with about a minute 50 left, as opposed to the minute or so that they got it back with. That cost them 50 seconds at the end of the game. Could they have used an extra 50 seconds? I think they could have. So I'm not – and then, you know, I thought that – Dean Pease with some questionable calls. There was a third of Vrabel not challenging early in the game. I thought was so stupid.
Yeah, nobody's going to challenge. Challenge is over. Challenge is overrated. The refs are not going to give you the challenges. It's got to be, the term they keep using is egregious. You hear him say, "Was it egregious?" Well, no, it wasn't. Okay, then we're not. You're not going to get it. I think those challenge things are way, way overblown. So, there was nothing there I would have challenged yesterday.
Oh, I would have challenged in a heartbeat.
Oh, never.
On the Malcolm Butler non-passing offense.
You will want. He grabbed him. He pulled his jersey.
Nothing there.
If you pull a jersey, they're going to call it every single time. You cannot pull a jersey. And they're going to call it. And they called it. So if he would have challenged that, he would have lost for absolutely sure. And you went, now you waste a timeout that you're talking about how valuable they are.
Well, it was a first half timeout.
It doesn't matter. It's still a timeout.
But they didn't use it in the game. So, well, but again, I'm not saying Vrabel lost him the game. I certainly, but he's on the list. The strategy was not great. There was a third down, like a third and 18 or something.
Wait a minute. Let's look at the series you're talking about where Humphries carried the ball. Henry carried the ball on first down, got 2 yards. They ran the reverse or whatever that was to Humphries for 3. Then on 3rd and 5, he got sacked by the spy.
Yeah.
The guy that's not even rushing. The guy is standing there in case he breaks the pocket. But he took so long that the guy could leave and run in there and sack Marcus. Now, that's Vrabel's fault?
No, but taking Derrick Henry out of the game is Vrabel's fault.
He carried the ball on first down. Gained 2 yards.
Give it to him on second down.
It was 2nd and 8.
Give it to him. Okay. He's averaging 6 yards a crack. Give him the ball. Give him the ball. Give Derrick Henry the ball. Whatever you do, give Derrick Henry the ball. The one thing I hate about the whole, hey, look at all the receivers they have now. They've got Davis and Brown and Walker's back and Humphries and this one and that one, is that it's like, oh, got to get everyone involved. Give Derrick the ball. Whatever you do, give Derrick the ball. When in doubt, Vrabel, I know he doesn't call the offensive plays, but at some point on the headset, Arthur, let's be sure to give Derrick the ball. And they did give Derrick the ball, just not enough. and I am going to continue to hold that to them. Okay, I'm really excited to take this call. So let's take some calls now, 615-737-1025, because we are short and sweet today. Robert is going to kick us off today on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Robert.
You there?
Yep, go.
I like hearing Floyd fired up. Here's what I'd like to know. If Floyd were still the general manager, what would his conversation with Mike Vrabel been after the game?
Thank you for the call, Rob. Floyd?
You know, the hard part for me with a game like this is it's not that you were beaten. It's that you lost it. And we've said for weeks now, these first few games of the season, very few teams just go out and do what New England did to Miami, where they just go out and beat them. Most of the time, you lose these. And that's the case this game.
Cleveland lost the game last week.
Yeah, I don't think, and you find different ways to do it. Cleveland did it with penalties. You know, the sad part for us is the things that we did to lose the game were so avoidable because they didn't have much to do with skill. It had to do with brains, awareness, situational football. What are you doing? What do you do? Okay, let's say I get the first down. Now I spike the ball. I run a play on second down. What do I do on third down? Let's say we don't get it. And you got to run through that in your mind. You got to say, okay, I'm going to cheese it or I'm going to do whatever it may be. But you can't get up there and be undecided and say, okay, I'll just spike it. But the hard part about a game like this, again, are all those things are so manageable, are so fixable. And you know, I mean, I mean, I've never been in a meeting with Marcus or with his coaches, but I will guarantee you they have told Marcus, if it's third down and we've got a manageable field goal, please don't get sacked.
Oh, my God. And he's done it like 100 times.
Do you think anybody has ever told him that? I mean, so, you know, my thing with Vrabel would be, you know, I think to try to go through, quickly correct the things that you did wrong, that are really mistakes, like those situational football things, and then move on. I mean, the truth is, you don't have time to dwell on anything now, because the worst possible thing that could happen is you let this loss turn into two losses. Now it is a factor. You know, right now, it just kind of eliminates the win you got last week. So, you know, you're back to one-on-one. The season's early. I mean, there is so much football still to be played. So, you know, maybe somewhere down the line we'll get a win that maybe we shouldn't get, because somebody will screw it up for us.
Well, that's how you get to 9-7, right? Is you win the games that are like, wow, I can't believe they won that game. That's a great game. And then you have three games where you just flat out do stupid stuff and lose a game. And then you have the one game you don't show up, so now you're at 4. And then you play good teams and lose those games, and now you're at 7. That's how you get to 9-7, is they've been picking up games along the way that would cancel out these kind of games, except they're having these kind of games. For every New England, there's a Buffalo. You know, that is what is driving me just straight up bananas. Ross has been holding patiently and is up next. Ross, thank you for calling Titans Monday. Go ahead, Ross.
Hey, this is Ralph. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead, Ralph.
Okay. General manager and the coaches, I believe they hire same time Indy and Titans. And look, the Indy, they just outsmart you and out-physical you. And all what I hear from Vrabel every time, we need to coach better. I saw Mike Mularkey team yesterday when Titans play, and I saw Mike Mularkey on nighttime playing when Atlanta played. So Titans are not improving.
Thank you for the call, Ralph. He's saying the Titans aren't improving from coach to coach. I will say this. Frank Reich and that Indy staff is just spanking the Titans staff on the rear end.
What did he do? He got one fourth down play that if he hadn't got it, he would have been an idiot.
Oh, yeah, they're going for it. I was sitting there saying,
he would have been an idiot. He would have been criticized in every locker room in the league. But he got it. So, you know what? That's the bottom line.
I think he had like a 99% chance of getting that.
They didn't do anything special. They were very average.
Oh, the Colts?
Yes.
That's the worst. I've seen the Colts.
They were very, very beatable. And that's why it was so sad. That's the NFL. That's the way it works.
I turned to my buddy I was at the game with yesterday when the Titans were up 17-13. And I go, you know what? Brissett kind of sucks. I mean, like, he's not terrible, but he's not. I mean, he's a backup quarterback who's starting right now. I said, you know the difference between Luck and Brissett? Flip the numbers. It's 31-17 right now if Luck's the quarterback.
Yeah,
it's 17-13 with Brissett at quarterback.
I thought we did a great job on all the big ticket items.
T-Y.
We did a good job, you know, and that's why it's so frustrating because it came down to just four or five little things.
Although tackling is not a little thing, and they were
horrible. No.
And you were worried about that all week.
I was, but management things and situational football things and things that you. You know, as a coach, you go through these things and you say to yourself, do you think we know this? And you go, yeah, we know that. We've been over that 100 times. Then you get in a game and something like that happens. And you say to yourself or you say to your assistants, hey, we don't know those things. You know, I mean, you're shocked at it, but it does happen.
615-737-1025. We'll get our final thoughts on the game. Again, Preds pregame coming up at 3 o'clock. We're live from Bridgestone Arena. Authentically American Floyd's got the Authentically American polo on. I've got the Authentically American jacket. You know how much we love rocking Authentically American, and our business is glad that we're partnered with Authentically American. Everything in Authentically American is made in America, which means it's a significantly better product than what you're already buying, but is competitively priced. That's right. Everything from Authentically American, made in the USA, and those made in the USA standards. To sum it up, Authentically American is a brand about celebrating patriotism, believing in the American worker, and honoring the American hero. They donate 10% of their gross profits to veteran and first responder charities. Authentically American, online at authenticallyamerican.us, the next iconic brand that is truly American-made. Authentically American. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Are there any thoughts on running a play on 3rd and 1 at midfield there at the end instead of spiking it?
Yeah, I think that you could make an argument for that based on the time. You know, it's just you don't have any timeouts, and so you're starting to get under the gun of, you know, making sure that you have enough time to get it and to clock it so that, you know, or get it out of bounds, obviously, with time to kick a field goal. You know, that's where we went.
That was Vrabel. Was that Vrabel covering for Mariota, in your opinion, Floyd, for the spike?
I don't know. I mean, what he said is right. I mean, the bottom line is, my mind, this is my, and again, this is based on nothing, but he didn't have a play to call in his mind, or he thought the play was going to take too long to call. We used to have a call when we got in a situation like that. We called it cheese. And they would just get up there, Steve would start yelling, cheese, cheese, cheese. Everybody on the football field knew what cheese meant. Mm-hmm. Everybody got right where they needed to. He could step under the center. He could goose the center. Ball snapped. You dive forward. You get what you can get, hopefully a first down. And then if you don't get the first down, then you're right where you were, you know. I mean, but anyway, everybody knew what was going on, and you could get the play called in a matter of 2 or 3 seconds because time is of the essence.
This is going to sound crazy. After hearing you break it down, it does make me more mad about that. I didn't go bananas about the decision to spike the ball on third down only because I felt like you had one play that would have got you into field goal range, whether it was third down or fourth down. You would have had one chance to clock it and one chance to kick it. Now, your theory makes sense. I think they clocked it with 17 seconds left. If Marcus lays on it, goes forward, maybe clocks it with 13 left, then that gives you a play, incompletion, play, clock it, kick.
Or it is fourth down, but instead of fourth and two, mm-hmm. which, I mean, a fourth and two, you got to throw the ball. Fourth and a half yard, now you can maybe sneak it. You know, you can do something else and give yourself a chance. But, no. Anyway.
The other thing that gets me on Marcus is I've noticed during the game, and I feel like he should grow out of this. I think the Oregon, you know, the whole look over to the sideline, see what the card says. Okay, get back now. Look back over to the sideline, see what the card says from the new coach. Okay, call the play, throw it to the guy who's wide open. I'm not sure he's out of that yet. I mean, I think he's like, you have to tell him exactly what to do or else he's going to screw up. Or he's unsure of it, and then he doesn't know, then he hangs on the ball, he's sacked.
Well, yeah, I mean, then, you know, those situations you have to take out of his hands.
You can't let him
make that decision. You've got to, I mean, I'm talking about during a game, you have no choice because it's, but you've got to have enough situations like that in practice that he realizes, hey, this is what you do. You know, you've got to program him to it. And I'm sure he's been through that. He's been with enough good coaches that, you know, somewhere along the line, somebody has said, hey, you know, you have to make sure this can never happen. And you know what? He knows it and he takes the blame for it and he is sorry as he can be. And that's all well and good. But not anymore for me.
No.
Give me the win. I don't care how you do it. This is the way you're going to win. You being sorry and you being remorseful and you is how you lose. Been there, done that. Done with that.
Yeah, you're making $21 million, basically. Go win me the game.
Go win a game.
And I, you know, and we'll get more into this throughout the week, probably tomorrow, because then we'll probably move on to the Jags Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But, I mean, I'm sitting here, like, with my hat in my hand saying, dude, I've defended you from all this for years, and you're not getting any better. You're doing the same stupid stuff.
Well, I don't. The thing that kind of put me over the line this one, again, exactly, was it's not physical. You know, and people are going to say, well, he threw it too high, and he threw it too hard, and he threw it. He wasn't accurate. And all that is true. I'm not taking any of that away. But the part that did as much to lose this game as anything was mental. Was mental. Throw the ball away. You can't take a sack. There are times where you want to dance around. We understand that. And there are situations where, you know, maybe we give you that option. But not in a close game when a field goal is on the line. You cannot let that happen.
All right, it's time for Predators Game Day. Floyd, of course, Predators Game Day back this season, presented by the Nexus Group. Of course, the Nexus Group. Floyd, we love talking about our friends at the Nexus Group. We also love TJ Anderson Holmes, who are back this season with Predators Game Day. But, of course, today, Predators Game Day brought to you by the Nexus Group, your trusted provider and safe haven for business networking, offering secure, reliable connectivity. Call the Nexus Group at 615-221-4200 and do not get catfished, Floyd.
Unless you're on the ice.
Bingo! Predators back a double dip today as they take on the Florida Panthers. First game coming up at 3:30. Pre-game coverage coming up in about 5 minutes or so. So you've got the first game at 3:30, second game at 7 o'clock. This is the annual Preds doubleheader, which I know that like they don't care when they're scheduling stuff out, but Titans Monday is Preds doubleheader Monday. So the injury report is as follows. Nobody's hurt. I mean, they practiced for 2 days, and now they're playing a game.
Record is as follows.
0-0-0.
And 0.0.
And here's my other thing about this, right? How much practicing did they do as a team? They practiced for the first time Saturday. They had a scrimmage yesterday, and now they're playing two games today. Have they put in the new coach is coming in with the new offense. How's he got time to put in the new offense when they've had one day of practice, and now they're playing a game?
Off season, they spent the entire time on ice. Nobody went to the beach. Nobody they had to skate the whole time to get ready for their day of practice.
I'm dead serious. How do you get any better as a team? You hire a new coach to run the power play, and the first day of practice is in the books, and now it's time to start playing games. But that's what we've got. The voice of the National Predators, Pete Weber, will have the call for the doubleheader, although Willie Donick and Chris Mason will be on some of the call as well for part of the doubleheader, which should be exciting to hear Willie and Chris back at it. I mean, it's crazy because I try to not think about what it's like in July, you know, when there's not a ton of sports going on. And a lot of guys will be like, oh, man, July's still whatever. And now here we are. We got a Titans Monday to react to. We get 1 hour to do it. And then the Preds are playing, and then we're back tomorrow. And then there's a game Thursday, and then it's just
a lot going
just
on.
Just constant.
That's good.
Just constant. Floyd, tomorrow we will start the show with your three things. Three things you liked, three things you did not like. And I'm sure, actually, that'll probably be the easiest three things you've ever done. We'll start tomorrow's show on that. We'll wrap up Titans Monday tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And coming up next, Preds pregame. We are out of here, Jared and the GM.